Hi, I'm Amanda, one of the hosts of The Suburban Women Problem. For the next few weeks, we're sharing season two of our limited series, The Cost of Extremism. Extremists across the country are attacking our freedoms, and kids and families are paying the price. This five-episode series will take a deep dive into crisis pregnancy centers, book bans, the crunchy mom to alt-right pipeline, and more. Jasmine, Rachel, and I will be back after our spring break. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoy this investigation into the true cost of extremism.
Extremists across the country are attacking our freedoms, and kids and families are paying the price.
Their entire point is that they want to indoctrinate, and that is Dennis Prager's words.
People don't want to move to a state where their kids won't get a real education.
The damage that the governor is doing is generational.
This is The Cost of Extremism, Season 2, Episode 3. PragerU, coming to a school near you.
Being taken as a slave is better than being killed, no?
One of the most beautiful things God has created is a woman's smile.
Did that bird just get killed by a windmill?
I'm certainly not okay with slavery. But the Founding Fathers made a compromise to achieve something great.
Now, most of us know that those statements aren't true. As adults, we can easily roll our eyes, brush this disinformation off, and go on with our day. But it's deeper than that. These are real talking points being taught to our kids through the public school system, thanks to PragerU, a conservative media company whose only goal is to spread right-wing ideology to our kids. To be more specific, and to use PragerU's own words, they are, quote, created to inoculate children against the woke and anti-American leftist narrative taught in most schools.
PragerU is an interesting beast, right? Because it comes with this idea that it's Prager University. And it sort of lends itself to this like prestige, I think, in the name in itself.
That was Jessica Wright, Director of Education and Implementation with Florida Freedom to Read Project. She's also a certified teacher in Florida, a native Floridian, and a parent of two kids in Florida's public school system.
The founder himself, you know, Dennis Prager, they started this, I think it was in 2009, so about 15 years ago. And his entire idea is that education is ruining the next generation with leftist ideas. And so they want to combat that with what they call edutainment. And so they're just a huge media company, essentially putting out videos, putting out handouts even. And their entire point is that they want to indoctrinate, and that is Dennis Prager's words. He has said, what is the problem with us wanting to indoctrinate kids? We want them to think like us. We want them to see America in the way that we see it, which is perfect. And we want to make sure that they adopt conservative ideas.
As Jessica said, PragerU was created in 2009 by Dennis Prager, a conservative Los Angeles talk radio host, and Alan Estrin, a screenwriter. Prager initially intended for PragerU to be a real accredited university. But when Estrin suggested an online university, the version of PragerU we now know was born. But just to make it perfectly clear, they're not a university at all. They're not accredited or an academic institution. They're a media company. While they originally targeted teens and college students, they've since expanded their focus to cartoons and classroom material for elementary school-aged children. We're talking about students as young as 5 years old. The short 5-minute-long videos are professional and eye-catching, made with bright animation to catch the attention of their audience of children. In their 2023 biannual report, they state that their content has been viewed 8 billion times. That's billion with a B. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, their content works as a dog whistle for the extreme right. They're well-organized, well-connected, and succeeding on a large scale thanks to their donors. While they're technically a nonprofit, a lot of their funding comes from billionaires. Fracking billionaires, to be exact. Dan and Ferris Wilkes have donated millions to the media group over the past decade. PragerU has also received funding from the Lindy and Harry Bradley Foundation, which has supported conservative education policy priorities, including the teaching of American exceptionalism. And when you get billionaires with no educational background funding classroom material, you're not going to get the best quality education. News organizations and prominent historians have fact-checked PragerU videos on their claims about United States history and the science of climate change and have found repeated misinformation.
When we are tailoring the standards or the curriculum based off of political interests, that in and of itself is the problem. But when we're looking at how much dark money and privatization has infected education and it's become a part of that taxpayer grift, I think we're going to continue to see more adoptions of places like, or things like PragerU and Dave Ramsey and normalizing the involvement of Hillsdale, which is mind-blowing to me. When we're talking about instructional materials, I like to refer to them as like a tertiary like ecosystem, right? It's not quite the government and it's not quite privatization. It is, but the way that they have to go through the bid process, the politics that are involved in it, it has become and very much is a billion-dollar industry. And I think that that's what people don't realize is they think that there's no money in education. It just really depends on what room you're sitting in, but there can be a lot of money in education.
According to tax records, PragerU raked in close to $200 million from 2018 to 2022 with big checks from top conservative donors. Tax records also reveal that PragerU has flourished financially in recent years as the PragerU University Foundation raised $196 million from 2018 through 2022. That growth is underscored by revenues rising from $17.9 million in 2018 to $65.1 million in 2022. To keep growing its audience and operations, PragerU's website showcases several ambitious fundraising programs. Last fall, PragerU hosted a founders retreat in Nashville that seemed geared to wooing more checks from major donors who give at least $100,000 a year. The event was slated to be an exclusive 3-day experience with an innermost circle of supporters and featured Dennis Prager, the conservative Daily Wire's editor-in-chief Ben Shapiro, and other Daily Wire personalities. In case you don't know, the Daily Wire is an American conservative news website and media company. Another conservative organization Dennis Prager is associated with is Turning Point USA, an American nonprofit organization led by Charlie Kirk that advocates for conservative politics on high school, college, and university campuses. Dennis Prager is listed under their Speakers Bureau on the website as a leader you can connect with for campus event requests and networking opportunities. We'll dig more into Turning Point USA in the next episode. Teaching American exceptionalism in schools is nothing new. But where did the need for it to be taught in schools come from? Dr. Reginald Ellis, an associate professor of history at Florida A&M University, one of the largest historically black colleges and universities in the country, ties it back to the summer of 2020.
I often remind my colleagues, my friends, say, hey, look, when you go back, if you get a chance, go back and look at the videos of the summer of 2020. And you look at the streets, the vast majority of those individuals were white, young white people saying Black Lives Matter. And from my assessment, that scared the hell out of the far right, because it was one thing when it was black people saying it, but it was another when it was their children, their nieces and nephews, their grandchildren that were protesting the death, the murder, the lynching of George Floyd. That's when you start to really hear this, oh, our children are being indoctrinated in K-12 system. Our children are being taught to be liberal at colleges and universities. This is not how I raised them. And so when you see a Glenn Youngkin get elected, riding around the state of Virginia in a red vest saying that the parents should have the rights over their curriculum, the dog whistle for me in that moment was, we don't want our kids taught about the Black experience, because they shouldn't feel bad about what happened in the past. And, you know, they weren't feeling bad about what happened in the past. They were feeling bad about what happened to what they saw happen to George Floyd. And when they started asking questions about how could something like this happen? And that's when people started to tell these individuals in a lay way the history of George Floyd. Black people were saying, well, this is George Floyd happens virtually every day. This is what we've been saying. And here's the history of it.
We also need to address 1 year earlier in August of 2019, when the first publication from the 1619 Project was in the New York Times Magazine. The 1619 Project is a long-form journalism endeavor developed by Nicole Hannah-Jones, writers from the New York Times and the New York Times Magazine. It focused on subjects of slavery and the founding of the United States. August 2019 is the 400th anniversary of the beginning of American slavery, and this ongoing initiative aims to reframe the country's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of our national narrative. Nicole Hannah-Jones was awarded the 2020 Pulitzer Prize for commentary for the 1619 Project. But not everyone celebrated this accomplishment, and it led to other curriculums being developed, like the curriculum by 1776 Unites, which aims to create an alternative to the 1619 Project. On its website, it states that this curriculum offers authentic, inspiring stories from American history that show what is best in our national character and what our freedom makes possible, even in the most difficult circumstances. But if these videos are so quote-unquote authentic, then why did Dr. Ellis have a hard time believing that these videos were even real the first time he watched them?
I went and looked at some of the videos when they first started to circulate around here. And the first time I saw it, I laughed about it because I said, this can't be real. This can't be something that they're going to put in the school system. To me, it goes totally against House Bill 999 because it is indoctrination, right? It's indoctrination for a particular political viewpoint. But it's very, very dangerous because we do know that there are school systems and districts, I should say, that are conservative leaning that will utilize those animations to instruct their students. But here's the thing. Those school systems may not have one Black kid in it, or those classrooms may not have one Black kid in it. That's what's dangerous, right? It's dangerous for any kid to be exposed to it, but it's even more dangerous for kids who are not exposed to a multicultural group of people to be exposed to this type of education. And so from a scholar's perspective, you know, I just watched a video on slavery today, and I found myself laughing, but then in the moment of laughter, I said, no, this is dangerous because somebody's kid is going to be indoctrinated or inculcated with this concept, and it may not ever be undone.
What it really is a mosh pit of misinformation and dangerous right-wing rhetoric, and it might be coming to a school near you. In late July 2023, the Florida Board of Education approved the use of PragerU Kids videos to be shown in K-12 schools. The Florida Department of Education stated that the PragerU Kids material aligns with Florida's revised civics and government standards. Those standards are broad. For example, teachers are required to review the causes and consequences of the Civil War, but nowhere does it state that they have to teach accurate history, which is where PragerU comes in. Along with Montana and New Hampshire, Oklahoma soon followed suit in allowing the content in their public schools. Ryan Walters, Oklahoma State Superintendent of Public Instruction, and other officials said that PragerU videos were a way to give a pro-American education.
Our state superintendent is a very aggressive person, Ryan Walters. He announced that partnership in September and basically said, you know, oh, we've had this partnership and now like teachers across the state can use this curriculum and it's on our state website, I guess. My reaction was, whoa. I'd heard about PragerU in Florida, and I was like, oh, I need to look at what this is. And I looked closer, and I was horrified.
Ashley Daly is a public school advocate and a parent to a second grader in a Tulsa public school.
I started asking leaders, you know, can he do this? What does this mean? and just trying to figure out how deep it would go. In Oklahoma, 95% of Oklahomans send their kids to public schools. Those are the people around us. They're around us at the grocery store. They are our neighbors. They are our future doctors. They are our future policymakers. And they need to be educated so they can take care of us. PragerU was saying that universities are indoctrination centers. So now we're telling Oklahoma kids, don't go to college. Well, who's going to be my doctor when I'm old, you know, or anyone's doctor? People don't want to move to a state where their kids won't get a real education.
There's real harm in allowing PragerU to be used in education. And they're not the only ones bringing dangerous right-wing rhetoric into our public schools. Another organization at the center of changing K-12 education is a Christian college. Republican officials are turning to Hillsdale College in Michigan for teacher training, textbook reviews, and a curriculum that celebrates American patriotism. They have gone as far as creating a curriculum company, Vermilion Education, headed by a consultant with little experience and a goal to whitewash history in the name of American exceptionalism. PragerU, Vermilion Education, Hillsdale College, and Turning Point USA want to keep us from moving forward and embracing the multicultural democracy that is becoming a reality.
The reason that our kids need to learn it is because they're growing up together in ways that even my generation did not necessarily grow up together with, right? We live in a really inclusive society. Our neighbors don't look like us. The individuals we go to the grocery store, because we don't in some ways live in a segregated society. So if you're living around people who come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, you're living around and working with and going to school with people from every walk of life, why not learn about them, right? Why not learn about them in every format, right? From I want to know about your culture. I want to know about your music. I want to know about your culinary palate. I want to know about everything about you. So now I understand your idiosyncrasies.
Dr. Ellis also talks about how being exposed to African-American history beyond the surface for the very first time changed the trajectory of his life.
I came to this university in 1999 as a freshman from Wiggum, Georgia, that had never really truly been exposed to African-American history as an occupational therapy major. My first Wednesday night course was the introduction to African-American history. And the first night I called my mom and told her that I was changing my major to African-American studies. Although my mother had worked at Florida A&M University and I had been exposed to Florida A&M University, what I had not been exposed to was seeing myself and hearing about myself in history. 1 3-hour class that gave me a different purpose. So I stopped thinking about, you know, came to college to earn a good to find a good job, to earn money, and that one class really reoriented the way I looked at why I was in college. I now came to college to learn more about myself and my people.
Shouldn't every student have the opportunity to learn about themselves in school and at an earlier age than the college level? This is the direction a majority of us want to move in, but a few loud, rich voices are keeping that from happening. Many of the videos produced by PragerU are hosted by controversial conservative personalities such as Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, and David Rubin. You know who else has played a significant role in propelling PragerU forward? To no one's surprise, Elon Musk. In November of 2023, PragerU released a short documentary entitled D-Trans, The Dangers of Gender-Affirming Care, which focuses on criticizing young people's access to gender-affirming care, despite both of the main characters being adults. Now, I use the word documentary loosely. According to the Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTQ+ group, D-transitioning is rare and often the result of environmental factors rather than regret. More than a dozen major medical associations, including the American Medical Association and the American Psychological Association, support access to care. PragerU spent $1 million on their marketing campaign, which included a timeline takeover on X, formerly known as Twitter. The takeover ensured that everyone who uses X saw the hashtag D-trans promotion. They praised X for allowing their promotion, stating that YouTube immediately rejected their proposal. PragerU's chief marketing officer, Craig Stazeri, named Musk as the reason they decided to advertise on X. But don't lose hope. There are communities pushing back against this and winning.
The Cost of Extremism is brought to you by the Red, Wine, and Blue Education Fund, a community of women working to change the world together, one suburb at a time. Red, Wine, and Blue provides everything women need to successfully organize in their communities and beyond. Want to save democracy and have fun along the way? Join us at redwine.blue.
Laura Foster is one of the co-founders of Ridge Network, an advocacy group working to defend all students' rights to a safe and welcoming learning environment in the Penn Ridge School District in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. In the fall of 2023, their school board voted 5-4 to sign on with Vermillion Education, which is connected to the Christian Hillsdale College.
One of the things that Hillsdale does is that there is a guy there that's been a teacher of some private, like Hillsdale colleges, like of a Catholic school. His name is Jordan Adams. So he's a graduate of Hillsdale, you know, deeply affiliated with Hillsdale, wrote the 1776 curriculum, which is based out of Hillsdale, and it is the American exceptionalism ideology, whitewashes history. It's a social studies curriculum for the college. So Jordan Adams comes from this college and starts Vermillion Education. He starts it in last year. The premise of Vermillion follows the premise of Hillsdale, which follows the premise of the 1776 Commission. Vermillion is also deeply tied with Moms for Liberty. Like, Jordan Adams is in that world. He was one of the speakers at the Moms for Liberty conference in Philadelphia this past summer, talking about how to overtake a school board, how to create chaos. So our school board members have some Moms for Liberty people, and we know that they had been meeting with Hillsdale. Now we know that it had been for about a year, close to a year, before they had actually proposed the contract with Vermillion. And then they slam the community and some of the school board members that didn't know about it with a 24-hour notice to be like, we're going to contract with Vermillion Education just to talk about social studies. But it wasn't. The intent was fully to go through all of our curriculum, kindergarten through high school, to pull out anything that they find against deep fundamentalist values. We had one of our social studies teachers went through his curriculum and pulled out space after space after space about this is historically inaccurate, historically inaccurate, historically inaccurate. Like a whole page of it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And then there's a space of whitewashing our history, right? So for my children, I don't want them to grow up and think that like there weren't struggles to get to where America is today. I don't want them to think that there's not continue to be struggles and disadvantages and racism and homophobia and transphobia, because that is a part of our world. I'm not saying that it is the only thing that is a part of our world. But when you take that out, you're taking out the real history of our children.
Laura and the Ridge Network weren't the only ones in their community who felt that way. All 5 open seats on the school board in November 2023 were won by candidates who ran in opposition to culture wars, secret agreements, poor policies, and the adoption of the curriculum recommended by Jordan Adams. The outgoing board ended the contract with Vermillion Education just days before the new board took over.
Our school district is in a better space, I would say, because it looks like that some of the school board directors are really paying attention to curriculum and trying to move the school in a forward space. But there is so much work that needs to be done.
Vermillion Education was stopped in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, but PragerU is expanding its influence in states across the country. So how can we be a part of stopping curriculums like PragerU from ending up in our own schools?
One of the things that we really encourage and do ourselves is conversations. And be like, did you know what's going on the school board? Did you hear this? Like, just having that, like, opening up a conversation about what's happening. Because a lot of parents don't know. And you don't know until you need to know, right? Like sometimes like something bad will happen and it affects your kid. And you're like, oh, wait a second. Why can't this happen? Like, why is there like summary citations happening to children? Like, this is weird.
I'm a big fan of grabbing everybody you think cares and putting them in a room and seeing what you come up with. It helps not to feel so alone.
I hope parents feel empowered to be more involved in their school, volunteering, you know, reaching out to their teacher, having more conversations if they can. But the other thing I also just want to remind people of is how much is going on that's intentionally designed for them, you know, to put them in the dark, essentially. And, you know, the more aware we become, the more we're able to advocate for sensibility.
From a scholarly perspective, I think we have to humanize academics. We are not these boogeymen who are trying to turn the United States of America into a socialist, communist pantheon, right? We're just individual, normal, living, breathing, walking, talking people who want to see the United States develop better citizens.
Develop better citizens. I think that's something we can all stand behind. If you're looking for like-minded people that want healthy public schools, join the Red, Wine, and Blue community. We have a parent playbook that can help you fight back against far-right extremism in your kids' schools. And we can give you the tools, trainings, and techniques you need to lead the charge in organizing people in your local community through our program, Trouble Nation. On the next episode of The Cost of Extremism.
What I try to say about groups like Turning Point USA or the Proud Boys is that these surface level components of fascism are interchangeable.
Republicans and conservatives of yesteryear were dorky, and Charlie decided he wanted to make being conservative cool.
They don't attract young women because their policies and their values don't align with empowering young women.
Like Trump, he appeals to people who feel disrespected and who want to find a community of people who will hear them, see them, and validate them.
The Cost of Extremism is hosted and narrated by Jill Jonathan, produced by Abigail Martin and Ashley Hufford, and written and edited by Abigail Martin.